Well, I would appreciate your prayers this morning. I'm going to write my thought on the board. It's going to be my garden. Now that's my garden, but I want you to think of that as your garden, as your garden. So it's my garden. And I desire the Lord to help us. You haven't made it yet. I haven't made it yet. We had a little thought in the Sunday school today about Jehu and how he started out really well, but at the end of it he didn't do so well, and that's a typical place that can happen in life, especially if it's extended out very long. It's really, really hard to keep encouraged and keep inspired for a long time. Things wear out on us if we're not careful. We need to be renewed day by day. We need to keep things fresh and keep things up. And you know, one scripture said, David said he encouraged himself in the Lord. If you waiting around for somebody to do it for you or the circumstances to come many times, well, they won't come. We need to encourage ourselves sometimes in the Lord. Be willing to do whatever it takes, because we haven't made it yet. We're not through with this yet. The scripture teaches us that to endure to the end, the same shall be saved. We don't know what we might have to go through before we get out of here. We're all headed that way. We don't have to. You don't have to be very wise in this to understand that we're getting right along with it, and we're all going to have to. We're going to have to face the fact that we're going to lay this body down one of these days. Not going to be that long. We're going to have to lay it down, and so I want to encourage you today that there is nothing so valuable in this life, in this natural, carnal, secular life. There is nothing so important to miss heaven over, and when it comes to that time that you and I have to look in the eyes of Him to whom we have to do, we'll recognize at that point in time that nothing on this earth was worth anything that would be something we could compare in any way to the world that God's going to give us over there. And so I want to encourage us today. This is one of those messages of maintenance and taking care of things and making sure that we've got it right, because in our lives, we look and, you know, I was amazed that, and thank the Lord there was no death involved of it, but the crash that Chad had and with his children involved, the other young man, and then Malia's, and you get that, and after a while, you get just a little jittery about things. I mean, somebody said it was going somewhere. One of my family members said it was going somewhere, and instantly I'm thinking, Lord, have mercy on them, because You don't drive so good, you're not so careful, your abilities is not so good that you can take care of all those things. You're not in control of all those things. We're thank God today that we know the one that's in control of all things. And that's the one that we want to keep our lives up with. We want to keep a relationship with. I find more and more of my inabilities to do anything, it's by God's grace that I'm able to live for Him. It's by God's grace that I can overcome things in my life. It's by God's grace that we're going to make it to heaven. We're desperate to have God's grace in our life. We're desperate to be hooked with the one. He is the vine. We're the branches. We're desperate to be hooked, because a branch not hooked to the vine is nothing more than a stick for the fire. But we need to be hooked to the one that matters. I want to talk a little bit about my garden. In your case, it'd be your garden. I went out into my garden the other day, and I looked at it. And it's later in the year, And back in April, March, late March, April, I started planting these little seeds in my little trays and all, and I raised these plants up with the expectation of something in the future. You know, living for the Lord is pretty much that way. Living for the Lord is the expectation of what God's going to do. It's the expectation that one of these days I'm going to get to live forever for Him. It's the expectation of some future. Almost all of it is. We pray many times with the expectation. We prayed for Sister Brenda. I have an expectation the Lord's going to meet that need. We prayed for Sister June. We want to have expectation. God's going to do something in the future. It's about mainly about the future. I started planting little tomatoes. I planted 100 tomatoes. I planted peppers. I planted cabbage in these little containers. I planted all these things. I had jalapeno peppers. I had sweet peppers. I had bell peppers. I had sweet banana peppers. I had all these peppers. I had an expectation in my mind of my garden area. And when it was right, I went out and I had put ashes on it through the year. I'd put stuff in there. I'd put leaves on it to mulch it. I'd done all this stuff. I got out there and I tilled it 4 or 5 times before I ever planted a plant in it. Got out there and worked the soil. I'd done all that thing, all with an expectation that one of these times it's going to be profitable. I'm going to get something out of my garden. I got a garden. I'm going to get something out of it. And I have this expectation. Then the time come, I pulled out my potato seeds, and I made 5 big rows and put my potatoes in there and done everything necessary for that. I went out and planted 4 or 5 rows of corn, beans, the pumpkins was out there. I got all this stuff out in the garden, and at one point I think if you like gardens, you'd have been impressed. I mean, honestly, I had everything in pretty straight rows. It was all growing good. It looked good. I had fought down the weeds. No weeds was out there. It looked good. Everything. I think if you like gardens, you'd have probably been impressed with my garden. Well, I walked out there the other day, and I haven't been diligent in my garden, because it got to a certain point that I'm looking for the fruit. There's some nice corn on. The potatoes done pretty good. The deer got through my fence. I'd put a fence around. I put a 6-foot fence, chain link fence, all the way around, except for one 20-foot or so corner that I run out of fence. So I put some deer netting up that wasn't sufficient. And a deer got in when we was at Monarch, got in. And all those, I had jalapenos, I had sweet wax peppers, I had bell peppers, the different colored ones. I had all these different peppers. And when I left, they had all these little peppers on them. And the plants are like this. And a deer got in there with all that I had done. A deer gets in there, and there wasn't, I don't believe, a leaf left on any of the plants. There was no peppers on the plants. There was just these sticks, these plants that stay sticking up there. I'll be honest with you, that was a little disappointing, but it's not the worst thing that ever happened in life. But that and I noticed that the worms was eating at my cabbage and all, but they were still some nice-looking cabbage heads, and I noticed that. I went out the other day, and these are gone, and I looked at those cabbage, and in a few days, the worms had almost the cabbages was almost ruined, and I looked at that, and the squash borers had got into the zucchini plants, and they're about dead now. Pumpkin plants are dying. The weeds are knee-high in places in the garden, and I looked at the garden, and I felt like the Lord spoke to me. You got to keep going. You can't quit. You got too much against you. The tomatoes, I had these beautiful tomato plants, one of the best tomato plants. All the potential was enormous, and it seemed like about every tomato that got good and big and started to get a tinge of ripe on it, some critter would come up, and I don't know why, it just wasn't satisfied to just eat one. I'd give it several if it just eat them, but it didn't. It eat on all of them. It wasn't content to just eat on a tomato. It eat on all the tomatoes. I want to tell you something today. The devil isn't content with you having fruit in your life. There's going to be fungus, there's going to be bacteria, there's going to be rodents, there's going to be weeds, there's going to be deer, there's going to be an attack. There's going to be an attack on your garden. And the devil's going to make sure that he doesn't want you to have the good things of God in your life. I was diligent to plow. I was diligent with desire. I had ambition. I had a goal. I had all this stuff. I had everything right. I had it all right. Then I tilled, I plowed, I sowed, I labored. I labored, I put my time, I put my effort in it. It's good that you come to service. It's good. It's good that you sing the songs. It's good that you do the things that you do. But I'm going to tell you something. The devil's going to try to, at the end of it, going to try to take your garden from you. Or he's going to leave you with a space. And it's going to have half-eaten, rotted tomatoes that nobody wants. It's going to have the pepper plants are gone. The cabbage, you wouldn't want to eat this cabbage that I have now because it's got that, well, the worms has been in it. It's on there. And it's being taken over. And I felt like the Lord spoke something serious to me as I looked at my garden. Don't let your spiritual garden get this way. You're going to have to go all your life defending the things of God, the things that God put into your life, the places in God. You're going to have to defend those things because there's an enemy there and he's sure after us. He wants to blight. I noticed that my tomato plants, the ones that's not being chewed on by rodents or whatever, pecked on by birds or whatever it is, it looks chewed on. There's a blight hitting it. And the blight is just going further and further. The plants are dying. And there's a few green tomatoes, but they don't have enough plant left to do much with that. And it's starting to blight. And the other things are starting to blight. You know, that can be typical of a life lived for the Lord. We've seen it, and we want to warn against it today. I've seen this over and over in life, and it said, as Paul said to the Galatians, you did run well. What happened? What happened to you in your life? You did run well. You put out a lot of effort. You've done what you should have done. You went before the Lord. You've sought the Lord. The Lord has blessed you in your life. There's a scripture that says that for those that thinketh they stand, to take heed lest they fall. I never seen in a growing season the time that the weeds stopped growing. I've hoed that garden out. I've hoed that garden out over and over and over. And now there's more weeds than there is anything else out there. It's predominantly a great big weed patch that's taking over the whole thing. And it's because I didn't keep going. I got wearied with it. I didn't want it to look that way. I don't want it to end up that way. But I wasn't diligent to take care of the things that I need to take care of. And I'm going to tell you something. When it comes to the Lord, it's a roundabout way, folks. It's not what you think it is. It isn't us having to be good enough or all those kind of things. The things in our life that really is valuable, the spiritual things of our life. You know, there's only one way to have them in our life. And that's a contact with the Lord. That's where the real victory is really at. I want to look at a scripture over in Isaiah. The fifth chapter. First verse says, now I will sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. Well, I want to tell you, I think there's a reference here in this to the gospel. Do you know it was put in a very fruitful hill? There is nothing that we need that we can't have. You don't have a place in your life or something in your life that Jesus can't take care of and that he won't take care of. It's in a very fruitful hill. There isn't any reason for us to consider that there isn't enough. The ground ain't right. We deal with that here. The ground ain't right. Send in a test to the ag department. See what the ground is. You know, you can send your soil samples in and all that kind of stuff. The Lord did this in a very fruitful hill. This is done in a place that you and I can have everything we need. We can have it. There is the power and ability to do things beyond ourselves. It is done beyond ourselves. I'm thinking of some of the stories I remember hearing a few years ago. There was a story of a young woman in one of the Muslim countries, and she had failed to keep the stances that they thought she should. It was a very strict place, and I think she unveiled herself or something like that, and so there was an attack on her, and they took this poor young Christian woman and they poured acid on her face, and the acid had etched her face and all, and it was an awful thing for a young woman to have to live her life like that, if you could imagine. Well, they caught the perpetrators of it, and it brought them to the justice, and then they said to this young woman that they were found guilty and wasn't allowed to do that, and they said to her, now you've got the right. You've got the right to pour the acid in their face. It's an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. They've done it to you. You can do it back. And she sets it aside and says, I forgive you. There's grace. There is a grace of God to overcome the things in our life. God don't want us to be like they are. They don't want us to be evil like that. He wants the fruit. We're living for the Lord. We've been living for the Lord. There's a goal in mind of it. Lord, your heaven isn't for places. Your heaven isn't for people that pour acid in other people's faces. Your heaven is for people that have mercy. Your heaven is for people that love, that want to see better things for those. It's for those that have the heart of Christ. You know, Jesus, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to be accepted before that great throne judgment. You're not going to be accepted because you were good enough. You're going to be accepted because Jesus was good enough, and you accepted that. That's going to be, but it isn't some kind of an idea out there that it's accounted to us when we don't have it. That's a lie of the devil. It's accounted to us because we've got it from Jesus. That's the truth about it. It isn't saying that the Lord's going to count love to me when I don't have it. No, He's going to have the grace for me to have love and to do what I'm supposed to do. It was in a very fruitful hill. I remember another story of a woman that's daughter was kidnapped and abused and killed. And she was a young girl, very young daughter. They caught the man that had done it. And she had the right, when he was convicted, she had the right to face him and tell him just exact. He has to listen to you now. He was scouted. You got a right to tell him right there. And the woman says, I forgive you. Could you imagine? She had one daughter. And this brutal, animalistic man took it from her. And she says, by the grace of God, I forgive you. I love you, and God loves you, and He wants you to be saved. What a testimony of fruit. You know, we can plow, we can till, we can sow, we can do all those things, but we need to fight to the end to keep the varmints off. We need to see, I could have done something when I noticed that there was a problem. I remember back the first tomato I seen and said, what's happening here? Something's eating on this. I did nothing. I didn't try to do anything. And then there was another one, and then another one, and then another one. I saw that the worms was eating my cabbage leaves, but I didn't do anything to change it. I saw that there was a potential of things getting into the garden through another way. I did nothing to stop it. And after a while, my garden is gone. Take care of your garden. You got to do it to the end, all the way to the end. You got to take care of it to the end. I know it gets tiring. It's hard sometimes to keep encouraged, inspired with all that. But I want to encourage us today, keep inspired. Go to the Lord. Do you know when you're feeling like you're not inspired? I'm going to tell you, we need to lean on the Lord. I'm learning more and more. You can lean on the Lord. You know things are possible when you go to Him. You can go to Him and He can change things. He can turn it around. You can go and say, Lord, I've lost my desire. I don't have the desire I used to. I want to tell you, the Lord can give you your desire back. Or I can say, Lord, I'm getting weak in an area. I got this weakness in my life. Would you help me with it? And you know the Lord can give you strength and power over that weakness. He put his vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it. And he gathered out the stones thereof, and he planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that he should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Now here's a story to consider. The Lord has set the plan. He done all of the things and made it possible and put it in a place and has made it. I'm going to tell you, if we're being run by the devil, we shouldn't be, because he made a way to defeat the devil. The devil doesn't run our lives anymore. It's Jesus that runs our life now. We're to produce something, and it's not supposed to be at the end of it. After he's done all these things and he looked that he should have something there, what was the problem after all of the energy, all the effort, all the stuff? What was the problem then that it brought forth wild grapes? God, there's no mistakes in God. God didn't do anything wrong. The only element in the whole universe, I wrote to somebody over in Pakistan night before last, I wrote him a message like this. And of all of the universe, all the creation, for all the elements, all the animals, all the things that God did, man's the only one that won't do what he says. God rules everything. He put in a will, and we don't have to, but it's the only thing that disobeys. You remember the man that come and they was carrying the Ark of the Covenant. God had prohibited anybody to touch it. And remember, they was carrying it on the staves, and it was carrying it along, and it rocked like it was going to fall. And the man put his hand forth to steady the ark. And God smote the man right there. In our minds, it would be better to steady the ark against the commandment than the ark fall into the mud. But you know, God told dirt and water to get together and make mud, and it never disobeys him. If you put dirt and water together, you get mud. And it never disobeys him. It does exactly what God told it to do. But that sinful man's hands on his ark wasn't something he's going to accept. You know, the Lord's got a way of changing our hearts and our lives. He's not going to accept disobedience. He's not going to accept that in our lives. He makes this wonderful place, and he set and he put a fence around it. And he put the things around it. And it should have been that it brought forth something good, but it brought forth wild grapes. Actually, one interpretation of that was stink berries or something like that. They're bittered. They're soured. They're not good quality. But they're fruit. But they're fruit, and you can see it. You know, this is an indication of spiritual, or I say spiritual, of religious function. It's a thing of the function. See, everybody here is religious, or you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be. You're religious. I can't see any beyond that, but I know that. I know there's a religious involved. You know, you can be faithful in all of these things, and then not take care of the things that really need to take care of. Over in Galatians, what is it, 5? Galatians 5. Oh, I'll go to the 18th verse. But if you're led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, I want to emphasize that phrase, but the fruit of the Spirit. I know that God made us a certain way from creation, and there is an element of love that the Lord even spoke of, is that the publicans do the same. I remember seeing a thing of Hitler loving on his dog. He had a German Shepherd, and I seen a picture of him loving on that dog. It wasn't that he was without human emotions. He loved the woman that he was with. He had those kind of things. It was a warped thing, but people have all these kind of things. It was a thing from creation. But this isn't talking about what's just from creation. It's talking about the Spirit of God. This is what God wants to work in us. This is the element that God works in us. And this is where the obvious ability for us to be able to perform above ourselves comes from. It's from the Spirit of the Lord. It's the Spirit of the Lord that can put these things in their life. I want to say that if you have a need in your life, and you find a place, and maybe you're struggling with loving someone, or with the idea of it, I'm going to tell you where the answer's at. It isn't in the textbooks. It isn't in trying to get the right philosophy down, or the right idea. This comes from the Spirit of the Lord. And you get the contact with the Spirit of the Lord, and you go to the Spirit of the Lord, I need this which belongs to you. I need something that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It's something that is beyond me. I ask you this question. Do you believe that it's possible for us to love our enemies? Do you believe it's possible for us to love those that do us wrong? Is it possible for us to do good when people are doing us wrong? That is exactly what Jesus did. It was the representative that he had of us. God wants our gardens to have fruit in it. When we come to the end of our lives, God wants us to have the fruit of his Spirit in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit, which is love, but not just the human natural love, the love that goes beyond, the love that Jesus had to where he loved us. While we were yet in sin, he died for us. He died for me when I was everything that he's not. You know, in this present political situation, if you're following politics, I'll have to give you a warning if you do. I do. And I have to give you a warning to it. You can get feelings over this stuff. I remember one day a couple years ago, there was a certain person, certain political figure that I didn't have a lot of respect for. And I remember seeing a little clip of him, and he was saying something. And I remember the thoughts that come to me wasn't exactly Jesus' thoughts. The thoughts that I had was, is that I like to see this guy Allah there, and I'm not sure I was talking about an election. Get this guy out. Who is this? And the Lord checked me on that. He checked me on that. There is. We don't accept evil. We don't know those kind of things. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus' heart is repentance for them. Jesus' heart is he loves them in their wrong just like he loved us in ours. Jesus wants us to have the same kind of heart that he had. Jesus looked down from the cross and said, these were the ones that was taking his physical life. They were causing him pain and harm and hurt. And he looked down from the cross and said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Father, have mercy on them. And Lord, help us. I looked at my garden. And I looked at the fruit of the Spirit. And I looked at the cabbage over there. There's still cabbage heads there, folks. You got, if you all went there, you would say, I know you would, you'd say, this is a garden. You would recognize it as a garden. It's not just a brush. It's a garden. You would say it's a garden. It's not hard to look and say that I'm religious. It's not hard to look and say that there's some concern and care there. You could go and look and see that there's a cabbage in there. And if you cut away enough of it, it'd be useful. You probably could take enough of it off and you might get a little bit of it and you might use it. But you're not going to be too impressed with that. And if it goes far enough, it's not going to be useful. And I looked at those tomatoes over there that the enemy of my garden come in and was ruining the fruit on it, that it could have been blessings to people around and those kind of things. I looked at the garden and the lesson that I got was, are you taking care of the things of your life? Because God's pretty serious about this thing. Do you love people? Well, if I'm a Republican, I'm Republican. Well, if I'm a Republican on certain part of it, I mean, like if I'm a Trump Republican, I can love, I'm not the rhinos. I can't love rhinos or can't love that political ideas that gets in there and you get involved, is that I can disagree. I don't think about all these kind of things. I know something's wrong, but do I care for them? Is it really what the Lord would have us to think about them and the people? Do I love my fellow man? It's pretty easy to have something happen and you become indifferent about your neighbor or family members or whatever it is. It can be pretty easy in that. But the fruit of the Spirit, my garden, so much of my garden, Lord help that garden not to be representative of my spiritual garden. Lord help me to keep the weeds out of the garden. Lord, help me to look and see that the dangers of something is encroaching. There's a blight. There's a blight hitting my soul when it comes to my patience. There's a blight on there. I don't even care so much about patience anymore. You get on me the wrong way and I'm going to let you have it. Because it's blighting. It's blighting. I'm still religious, still pray, still go to church, still read, still sing, still got that. But I'm blighting. My garden's blighting. You know, it's not going to be long. It's not going to be long in the seasons that comes that there's going to be a cold, there's going to be a frost come. Something's going to kill you're going to kill it out. Something's going to kill it out eventually. This is not something that's supposed, this is supposed to be like the ever-blooming. What's that song, I think 300 in our book, it mentions something about the always blooming, what was the Anthoranthem Bowers or whatever, the old idea of the flower that bloomed all the time regardless of the weather, the winter, anytime, that always blooms. This is something that's to bloom all the time. It's not supposed to fade. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. Lord help us, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Joy is so important. Can we find joy in our lives? This is a part of you know what, I can have some love naturally, but this joy thing is a little bit harder for me. But it's supposed to be there, but yet, where's it at? You all know what I'm talking about? I'm living for the Lord, folks. There's got to be some joy. I'm living for the Lord. I can say these things. Some of my foreign friends, I'll say, how you doing? Terrible. Terrible. This and this and this. And I said, my response to them is why? Did God leave his throne? My response is God not God anymore? Or I'll respond to them, brother, are you saved? You don't sound like you're saved. Now, I write all that. I know what I'm talking about when I write it. But where's the joy? There's a joy in living for the Lord. There's a sense of gladness and satisfaction in our life. I'm saved. You know, it don't matter what the economy does. It doesn't matter what China does or Russia does over there. It doesn't matter what COVID does. It doesn't matter what the election does. I'm saved. Thank God. I'm saved. It ought to be joyful. I'm saved. I get to, when it ends for me, I get to go be with Jesus. Thank the Lord, I ought to have joy in my life. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to just open it up for me. This is a hard one for me. Joy don't run too deep with me. I get too cranked up about stuff, too tired with this about stuff. Lord, you've got joy. I go and look at my garden for the joy and the rats have eaten. I can remember having joy. I go look for that and then there and the deer's done come and eat it all off. And look, and there's nothing there. Oh, nothing but a stick. The only thing that reminds me of them that I had peppers was that the plant stems are still sticking there. It reminds me that I once had a hope. I once had something there, but I don't have it anymore. No, I need to get that back. Lord, I need to get that. I need some joy. I need some joy in my life. I want to be honest. I want you to think about this. You really think you're impressing anybody? You think it's really impressive? You know what's impressive? When you got joy. When somebody can look and say, what are they, why are they like that? The whole world falling down around them and they say, hey, you know, pass the butter. Hey, I'm blessed. You know, I mean, what's going on with this person? Their whole world's falling down and they're acting like everything's just normal. That's right. It's because God's in control of my life. Lord, help us to have some joy. You want to try to go out and witness to the world and you're going out there with a stone face and you ain't got any. I can do good, that good. The world ain't looking for misery. I can be miserable. Everybody can be miserable. Lord, give me a joy. Help me to feel the joy. Oh, I can remember the years I'd come, sat right over there in that corner, and just the joy, the sense of, oh, I'm just glad I'm being here. I'm saved, and all's well, and thank the Lord. It was just burned in my soul. Sometimes I think there's just a stick sticking there. Lord, help us. Looking at my garden, it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Just at peace. You know, that peace is brought to us. It's not that things are warring around us. You know, you can have peace when there's war around you. You can have peace when there's things going on. This peace is a peace that He gives to us, not as the world gives. This peace is something that is a part of the Holy Ghost in our lives, the Spirit of God. This is this peace that we have. And it's akin to joy with me. And say, where is it at? Lord, help me. Where is it at in my garden? I went to get it and the worms that eat it. Where is it at? There's just nothing there. I'm all worked up and bent out. And this is my garden, Lord, what I'm going to represent to the world. Come and look. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of them with no understanding. I went and looked at it and what they looked like. The walls tore down. Anything can run in. It wasn't maintenance. Anything can run in there. Boxes go in. The varmints go in. Everything goes in and destroy it. I looked at it. You can still tell it's a field. You can still tell it's a vineyard. It looks like somebody used to work it. They didn't build a wall for nothing. They built it for a reason. Something's there. What's it doing there? It represents an old broken down fallen religion that ain't working for anybody. That ain't impressive. I'm not saying tomorrow turn over a new leaf and stand up and say I'm going to grit my teeth until I have peace and joy. I'm saying there's a God that's able to give it to you. There's a God that's able to give that to you. And do you know what I'm going to be willing to say? If you pursue it, it ain't going to be a one-time, one-morning shot and all of a sudden you got peace and joy and you're going to say, hallelujah, I got it from now on. It'll be you going and looking and finding it when you need to get it. But it'll be a garden. It'll be a garden. It'll look like a garden and it'll be a noticeable and it'll be something that people can say, give me some of that too. Give me some of that. I remember one of the ministers, maybe it was Brother Varghese or one of them, was talking about over there with the fruit and all, and he's talking about this, you know, got this fruit hanging on this tree. I've got a whole tree, best apple crop I've ever had on that tree. The apples are just hanging on that tree. Now, when them get good and ripe and they're nice and that, you don't have to tell anybody that likes apples. You don't have to tell anybody, you know, try to pump and prime and get people to do that. That fruit speaks for itself. That's juicy. Hey, that's good. I like to have that one right there. Yeah, that's what we want to represent. The Spirit of But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering. I went and looked in my garden for my long suffering, and the deer had done eat it up. There wasn't none of it there. I went and looked for it, and long suffering. Brother Sammons used to say, anytime you stop suffering long, you stop suffering, it's not long suffering. Long suffering is an interesting word in its context, because if you stop suffering it, is it long suffering? Long suffering has this notion to it that you can't get away from, is that you got to be long suffering. Well, where's the end of it? Well, I was long suffering. No, it didn't say was long suffering. It says be long suffering. Suffering long. Keep going and going. And long suffering is a fruit of the Spirit, because you know why? There are sometimes that God puts us in a position to suffer to get to the end of the thing. And if you stop the process, you don't get to the end of the thing. Let the Lord take you all the way to the end of the thing. There is a time that it will go all the way through, and then you'll be able to pull that big ear of corn down. And I am thankful. I do have some pretty good corn. But that fourth point, and shuck it off, and it is so pretty to pull that off and say, this, if you like corn, I'm going to tell you, I got some corn. And you look at that and say, yes, I'll eat that. I'll take that, because that's appealing. It's good. It's good. When you go into your garden and the mice have been chewing and the birds have been pecking and the blight's taken us over and the worms have done it, the deer gets in and all this stuff, and the groundhog eat the beans. I forgot that one. The groundhogs will do it too. We have so many enemies against the fruit. The devil's going to make sure there's an enemy to the fruit. Long-suffering, gentleness. How gentle are you, and how gentle do you think would you want to be? Gentle? Gentle to me seems a little wimpish. Seems like gentle. Now, this is a fruit of the Spirit. You know, some people are naturally gentler than other people are. I ain't talking about naturally being gentle. I'm talking about being able to get something from God that He has. It's a part of His Spirit. And we can go and we can have this part of being gentle. Now, again, I'm going to confess my faults. I need the Lord help me. Because when I go looking, the gentleness is like my onion patch. I planted some onions, white onions this year. I planted some rows of onions. I think we pulled a few of them to start with. But those onions are in there somewhere. I know they are. That's what gentleness with me is like. I know it's in there somewhere. You just can't see it. Because it was completely taken over by the weeds and the stuff that's there. I know where they're at. And if I went look for them, I think I could find it. That's the way gentleness is with me. I think about gentleness and think about that after the time that I needed to use it and I didn't have it on, but I know it's there, and I usually will go and spread the weeds out enough to get enough to do what I need. But God wants us to have something more than that. God wants us to have these fruits in our lives, something that is we're going to have to defend against. And I'm going to tell you, it's an ongoing thing, folks. You're going to be challenged. Your fruit of your garden is going to be challenged. Your gentleness is going to be challenged by something, somebody, some way. Don't look at it as somebody. I take that back. Look at it and say, get the hint, Satan. The devil's going to do it. The devil's going to be behind it. You determine that I'm going to do anything for the Lord, and you're going to have the devil sending somebody your way, doing something that's going to do it. I know the gentleness is there, but I'm not satisfied right where it's at. Lord, help me. Gentleness. Goodness. I think these all speak for itself. Faith. Faith. Faith in God. Faith is an amazing thing. I always ask myself this question. Do I have faith? And how much... How is my life different than if I didn't have it? It's got to make a difference. Have faith in God. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Well, I'm sorry, I took a while, but Lord, help us today. It is more important to come to the end and the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, than to have started out and made a big splash when you hit the water and had all the attention and all the emotions and had all the things with it and then let in come and have, or in my case, in the spirit of this service, I want to say you could have went during, just after our camp meeting, you could have come up and looked at my garden. I'd have been very proud for you to come and look. And you could have come up and the corn was all straight and everything was looking good. All those beans, before the groundhogs started eating them and they started falling, they still done pretty good. And all of it was just nice and it was just such a presentation. It's more the ending of a thing is better than the beginning thereof. Remember that it's going to be how we get it at the end of it. Lord, help us to be faithful. You pray for me.